know what time it is.
You know what it is.
Welcome to the Culture Podcast.
Welcome to the Culture Podcast.
A podcast inspired by and representing for the culture.
Just been a fan of the culture and the authenticness of it.
Everything from hip hop.
What's up, y'all? This is J. Cole.
Yo, it's Ice Baby.
It's Kendrick Lamar.
It's the baby.
Sports.
Mahomes looking to flip, takes it in for the touchdown.
Urban life.
It's heat up right now.
And everything in between.
Let's go.
The show starts now with your hosts, Jeff and Anthony.
Yo, 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 yo. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Culture. We live and direct. Mm-hmm. It's your boy Jeff. Aunt Tony was good.
Fucking back hurts, but I'm all right.
Damn, oh, you was shit. Lifting shit?
Yeah. Yeah. And the first twinge happened when I think I was in my sleep. And like I jerked and well, so I was sleeping my
pause.
Side. No. I didn't say it. Fuck that. and it's in my lower back. I think like I just kind of like it moved in my sleep. And I felt like a little twinge and it got better. But now it's in the upper part of my back and it keeps like sending out like little jolts and shit. So it's like it's here and there. But as long as I'm sitting up, I'm fine. So I got to sit up to do this show. So
he felt a 20 twin twinge.
And I felt a twinge. And I keep feeling the shit. Fucking fingers in my hand keep going numb. Like, make sure I'm all right. But yeah, just a little pain. Outside of that, I'm good.
All right. Well, it's been a couple of weeks. I was sick as hell. I was sick as a dog for like the past week.
And we had technical issues. Your laptop fucked up. My laptop's fucked up. And everybody got good laptops now. We should be all right.
Oh, yeah. I got a new laptop. This shit is crispy and fast. I got a new webcam. Looking crispy out here. Looking HD-ish. 1080p.
Oh, that's some of my screen. I was like, nigga, do I glitter my face? And that's the screen. Okay. I'm on that shit. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's all good, man. But let's get into these topics, man. I got a couple of is that racist shits to talk about with you.
Sure.
And, but first, let me see, what topic do I want to start off with today?
I don't care. As you see, shit ain't change.
Do you think Remy cheated on Papoose?
Maybe. And if she did, I don't care.
Because that's been going around for the last couple of weeks now all over social media. They talking about it on the radio.
With her and,
with the battle rapper.
With her and Easy to Block Cap.
Right, and it all stems for some shit he said on the battle rap, right? And she's on the stage, and, you know, she addressed it. She was like, yeah, it's all battle rap. He's just talking shit, blah, blah, blah. I ain't taking offense to it. Nobody wants to believe that anything can go wrong with Remy and Papoose because, you know, they're the prototypical black love couple, right?
That's a terrible example, but okay.
They've been together forever. They got kids. He held her down when she was in jail. She comes out of jail. He puts his career to the side to let her cook.
Did he?
Yeah, for the most part.
Come on now. Like, did you really think like Papoose next man up? Like, let's be honest about this.
No, but he's nice. Is he not nice?
He's nice, but his fame really came more from marrying her than it is from anything he's ever done. Like, all right, how many times can you do the alphabet shit? Great. All right, cool. It shows a level of creativity, but it doesn't mean like you
can. The five fingers of death.
Right.
The pinky cool. is for this.
Right, you could do all right, great, but was anyone really like checking for like, oh man, can't wait for the next Papoose album? No, his career kind of popped when he married her. Then the shit she went through and holding her down and so on and so forth, it was really more that than anything else. It's not a dismissal of his ability. He has ability, but even now, like, are you checking for Papoose as a rapper, or just know him as Remy's husband?
I guess. And but you sound like you don't give a fuck if she cheated on him or not. Like, yeah, fuck it. She could do better than him.
No, because it's more in the sense of what people say, like they are like the epitome of black love. Like, nah, man, you love how you want to love and you shouldn't look for any kind of like, in all honesty, any kind of celebrity, any kind of couple to be an example of what your thing should be. I heard that a lot. Like he held it down all the time in prison. So you mean to tell me this grown man who's a rapper, who has a strong professional career, and his wife's in jail all this time, didn't do shit. Not one thing. Can you honestly say, like, yeah, he stayed loyal for all of those years. Can you honestly say that?
He comes across as a stand-up guy, right? He doesn't come across as a, you know what I mean, as a creep.
And stand-up guys and stand-up women get cheated on they lose relationships, they lose marriages. Like you said, they got family, they got kids, they got this, they got, it makes no difference. When somebody went out, they gonna get out. When they wanted to be over, it's gonna be over. Now, do I think this is over? No, because there's nothing that has been substantiated that says that those two are, that Remy and Easy are together. Nothing has said that. Nothing's come clear. Neither one of them have said it. Now, if you're in a relationship, you would probably say something. Or Pat would say his marriage is over. Or Remy would say her marriage is over. No one said shit. So it's just like for, you know, I wouldn't say for the gram, but more for like battle rap and keeping people talking about things. Like, yeah, but do you think it's over?
No.
Why?
Because like I said before, they're the prototypical black love couple. You know, people talk about, oh, I want a relationship like Jay and Beyonce. And they used to say like Will and Jada, right? Mm-hmm. They don't say that anymore.
Okay.
But then that next black couple up is Papoose and Remy. That they're, you know, they're next on that list when people say, I want my relationship to be like them.
I want my relationship to be chilling with my woman.
Been together for 20 years. You know, a bad word has never been said about either one of them. No scandals, nothing.
Well, because she was going away for a while, so.
Yeah, but you ain't hear nothing. I mean, this is the social media era. This is the, you know what I mean? You ain't hear, you ain't see, you know, there was no footage of him walking in and out of a hotel with another female. There was, you know, nothing.
Yeah. But you never see that. It never happens. That shit always happens, like, in the end. In the end, you always see, like, oh, he's with so-and-so, or she's with so-and-so. But it doesn't really happen like we think it does. Because if they, if this is an issue or a real problem, somebody would have said something. Or somebody would have known something. But I don't think it's that. And like I said, it's this whole idea of why do people choose people whose lives are nothing like theirs as a reflection of how they're life or relationship goals or values should be. Like I don't know many rappers, and I don't know many married rappers, and I definitely don't know many married rappers who might be having sex with battle rappers. I don't know many people who's like, man, you know who relationship would be like? I want to be like those. Like why do we idolize the weirdest of shit? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like because even you named it, it was Will and Jay. Like, nah, we let that one go. But I'm like, these like terrible, they're terrible examples. Like,
they terrible example in hindsight when you look, you know, from the outside looking in. Though all you see is they've been together for 20, 30 years. That's all you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you see when you see celebrities breaking up and divorcing every single day, the ones that've been together for so long are the ones that are gonna stand out as, you know, the it couple, the couple, you know, they never break up, they never go through shit.
Oh no!
Even though when the cameras are off, they're going through a hell of a lot of shit.
No. We pick and choose. We really, really pick and choose. We talked that Will and Jada shit forever. What, Denzel been married to his wife for over 40 years. Sam been married to his wife over 40 years. They did, and both. Well, Denzel's wife used to be an actress. Sam's wife is an actress, but they're stars and they're in the spotlight. No one ever says, "Oh, I want a relationship like Denzel and his wife or Sam and his wife."
Oprah and her man was together for the longest.
Who?
Oprah.
Yeah, it was, and they tried it and didn't. It worked. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it just sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Everybody wants to find like fault, blame, or why it did or did not work. Maybe it just had its time, was past its course, and that's it. Now the whole thing of that, I think what you're saying to me, what's clicking in my mind, is that I don't necessarily have a problem with whatever's going on in a relationship. I think the issue I take a stance on is the whole idea of like, why do we find or think of these weird ideals of black love as these things that are like naturally flawed. Not like my ideal of black love is my friend Alan, is because his mother and father have been married for over 40 years and they go through it and they argue and they have their little things, their little squabbles, so on and so forth, but they're still there in the end. I don't idolize it. I was like, I admire it. Like that's a good thing to have. Because I know this shit seems natural. For people that you have zero idea with, the only time you ever see them is in front of a camera. Like, that's not reflective of any kind of relationship that anybody wants or anybody is. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. They're like, oh, we want to be like Will and Jada. You only see them together when they're at a premiere. You don't see them going to the store. You don't see them talking. And now when you do, you see, like, the fractures in their relationship. like when she tried to like get him on a like a TikTok or something like that, he like just like kind of brushed her off. Like, I don't want to do that, things like that. Now you kind of see the things that kind of go on behind closed doors that we always see, like the perfect image of things, and that kind of sucks. So this thing with people who aren't rap, like, well, rap's a wild world all to it is. But for me, do I think that she is? No, I don't. But I wish someone just kind of like heard a fuck up and say something so people stop talking about it.
All right, well, let's move on, man.
Sure.
Usher has been announced as the Super Bowl performer this year. Your thoughts on that? Because we've talked about how Usher's catalog is extensive and how nobody could probably see him in a versus battle.
Besides, you know, he who shall not be named.
Who are you talking about? Oh, yeah, no, we're not talking about that gentleman.
There you go.
Now, he's not beating Usher.
Who? He who shall not be named?
Yeah, incarcerated
Shit.
Rob. Incarcerated Rob ain't going to beat Usher in no fucking versus.
I feel different, dog. Okay. That's wild to say, but yeah, he can do it. Not many people can beat him.
But you saw
we digress.
You saw Keke Palmer at the Usher concert, butt-ass naked.
Damn, she had an outfit on. She had
yeah, but it was a whole see-through outfit. Her whole ass cheeks was out. And then she goes on, and she's on the stage flirting with Usher. She turned, you know, he's staring at her ass. Uh-huh. And then soon after that, I mean, obviously, she was probably having marital issues before that. But soon after that, we start finding out that her man beefing and that's going back and forth. And people are like, damn, Usher, you breaking up relationships out here. He's like, yo, I'm Mr. Take Your Man type shit. You know what I'm saying? Or Take Your Girl, rather. Not Take Your Man. But I'm Mr. Take Your Girl.
Is he? No, but it wasn't that. It wasn't. Like, I think it might have been problems before then, sure, but I don't think it was a big issue. Like, and the truth of the matter is this. That shit there was like, he got petty because he's like, you know, a wife should be home doing whatever. Nigga, I'm the breadwinner. Calm your ass down. I wanted a break. I was hanging with Usher. He sings.
Butt-ass naked. Like,
but being butt-ass naked don't necessarily mean you want to sleep with Usher. Like,
okay, like, relax. All right.
I'm just saying.
What are the chances? Let me ask you this. Give me percentage. What are the chances that Usher hit that night?
0.00.
Get the fuck out of here.
0.00.
Get the fuck out of here. There's a semblance of a chance, bro.
0.00%.
I'm gonna go with there was like a 48% chance he hit that.
You'd say it's almost 50-50. It was a 0% chance. Because here's the thing. Like, Usher's known her for a while. If he wanted to hit that, he probably would did that a long time ago. Like, they're in the same circles. And, like, if that would have happened, that would have been happened. Like, it would seem a little bit too convenient to do it now at this place, at this time, with all these people watching and him knowing that you're fully whole ass married. That would have been troublesome.
You act like Usher gives a fuck.
He has to, because his image now, he can play on that image as all he wants to, but that image got him to the Super Bowl. And the fucked up part is that Usher wasn't even the first choice.
No, it was Taylor Swift, and she said no.
Then Usher was the third choice.
Because she's busy over there with Travis Kelce and them.
Right. She's
Which, by the way, I'm already tired of that relationship. I'm already fucking disgusted from that relationship. They see her one time at the game, and everybody goes crazy. Travis Kelce jersey sales go through the roof. Ticket sales for the fucking Kansas City Chiefs. Every game is sold out now because they think she's going to be at every game, and people want to see her, and they want to breathe the same air. Is she like already like at Michael Jackson level fame?
Wait, hold on. Let's rewind a little bit. So you're saying you're sick of that?
I'm sick of the whole shit. Like, you turn on the football show and I want to hear about football and you're hearing about fucking Taylor Swift.
To the point where
Fox asked Taylor Swift's people for permission to play her music during commercial, like when they go through the breaks. Like, we'll be right back, folks. They asked them for permission to play Taylor Swift songs during Kansas City Chiefs games when they're coming in and out of breaks. And they said no. They was like, no, motherfuckers, you cannot use my music.
So she meets him. She shows up to the game, you're disgusted by it.
I'm just disgusted by the coverage. I'm not disgusted. Right. She could date whoever she wants. We know she's going to date, and you know they're going to be broken up by before the season's over.
I get you.
But I'm just disgusted by the whole coverage. Like, all right, they're dating. Cool. Let's get on with the game. They're showing her all over the place. After the game, they're showing them leaving together in a car. The whole thing is Taylor Swift.
I get it. But you literally just said, Keke goes to Usher's show. they've had no kind of background or anything else before that. And you're already making the assumption that they're fucking. Don't you see this kind of weird? Like, you're sick of one thing but not sick of the other? Like, I don't care about either. I don't. I'm just saying. Like,
I don't either.
Yeah. Because, like, we're in a...
But one...
One... They're both annoying.
Like, nothing happened. But one was is an actual story. Like, all right, Kiki's going through his marital issues, and now she's with Usher showing her her ass. Right, the Taylor Swift shit is all about, like, they're injecting her into the football. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she's there at the game, and she's dating one of the team's players.
No one says...
And everything is about her now.
But who says she... You said she's with Usher. Ain't nobody said she with Usher.
I'm not saying she's with Usher. I'm saying there's the footage of her on stage with Usher showing him her ass.
Do you feel that women should dress a particular and appropriate manner if they're married? Are you saying that women just should tailor their dress to succeed the man?
I don't mind my wife wearing dressing very provocatively if she's out with me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? If you're out and you're not with me, then we might have to have a conversation.
But okay, I'm guessing that her husband disapproved of the outfit. It's not like he didn't see the shit before she went.
But that's why I said we gotta assume that they've been beefing.
Maybe right, but I don't want to assume about somebody's marriage. I don't like it sounds weird. Whatever problems they got going on. Like I said, and if he felt a particular way, you probably should have told her earlier, but. I don't think that's the issue, but this is all kind of a roundabout thing to going back to Usher hosting the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Unpopular.
What song opinion. Is he going to play?
Unpopular opinion. I don't know how good it's going to be.
I think it'll be good because, like I say, he has 20 years plus of hits, bro. Like, there's songs that I still hum in my head from, like, when I was in high school of Usher, from, like, from his first albums and shit. But, again, it's a Super Bowl. What they give you, like, 15 minutes or is it less? Is it 12 minutes?
15, 20 minutes, something like that.
No, it's less than that because it's supposed to be the length of a quarter, but then they talk a little bit, they do commercials. I think you only get like 10 minutes. 10 to 12 minutes.
But here's the thing.
And then I'm sure he's not going to do none of his slow stuff, right? You figure he's going to do the stuff that's going to amp people up. He's going to do, oh my God. Oh,
I hate that song.
He's going to do, he's going to probably bring out Lil Jon. You know what I'm saying? He's going to play that. You know he's going to play that.
But that's the only one I like.
Of the dance shit that he does? What's the Pitbull one?
The DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again?
Oh, yeah. They got to play that. They're going to play that. They're definitely playing that.
But that's it. Like, all his shit that people love about him is, like, singing in ballads. Unless he's bringing out Alicia Keys to do My Boo, some shit like that.
You want him to go up there and be like, it's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top. That's
what you want? Yeah. Yeah, believe it or not, because I was having this discussion before. The thing about picking him there, because like I said, he was their third choice. Taylor Swift was one, Lizzo was two, then they turned to Usher. They were going to do Lizzo, but with all the fuck shit going on with her, they was like, nah, we can't have that.
Not a good look.
And that would have been worse, because, I mean, unless you're a big fan of Lizzo like that, you're not really going to be knowing her music or her songs to that degree.
Now, why do you think Taylor Swift turned it down? Is it because they don't pay you? You think she's all about her money?
Right. So the thing is that you do it free because, you get a claim of popularity. Why would they need to do that to the most popular artist in the world?
Like, no, but right. But that's why it makes sense. That's why, because I was going to ask, like, if you look at historically, and it's definitely the last few years, The people that go up there are people that, don't really have, they're historic or they have, a long catalog, but they don't have like recent hits or recent success or they haven't done something for a long time, right?
Right. She's successful now. She's the biggest artist in the world now. Right, I don't need to do this now.
Usher hasn't put out much, much for a while.
I'm making millions of dollars, not hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars for selling out stadiums like this
routinely,
a couple times a week. Right. So I'm going to, these people are paying for something else and I'm going to perform for them for free? Girl, fuck you. No. They're going to try again next year. They're going to ask again next year. Like, I'm the biggest artist in the world and y'all are not going to pay me. So I'm basically doing a free concert. I don't do free concerts. You pay me.
I think this is going to open the door for sports teams. It's going to be a new trend because I saw Mark Cuban tweeting to to Taylor Swift saying, hey, why don't you dump Travis and come date one of the players on my team? You know, alluding to the Mavericks,
that's,
I guess.
That's sexist, but
and obviously he was probably joking. And then Travis replied. He was like, "Hey, how about you sign me to a 10-day contract?" Right. Mm-hmm. So this might be a new marketing thing going forward, where ownership of teams will try to, you know, influence or encourage players to date whoever the big pop star is at the time, because it boosts your fucking ticket sales, your merchandise sales go up. All types of ad revenue and ratings go up. It's crazy.
Yeah, but it won't work.
Can you imagine seeing the commercials? The New York Knicks play this. Don't miss Kim Kardashian dating, you know, whoever the fuck. Julius Randle. She's going to be front row at the next game. Get your tickets now.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't make a difference because she's dating Odell Beckham right now and no one gives a shit.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Kim is.
Exactly.
I didn't even know that. Kim Kardashian is.
Exactly. It doesn't make a fucking difference.
Get the fuck out of here.
Go, you got your little phone right there. Fucking Google it.
I did not know this shit.
Right. And they say that whole little ID you had just goes to fucking toilet because it doesn't matter. You know why? Because she's not the biggest fucking pop star in the world. She doesn't have millions upon millions of people following every fucking thing she does.
Wow, she is. Holy yes. Shit. That's what? That's her second football player? Because she was with Reggie Bush, and then his career went down the drain. Odell Beckham is already washed. He's already going downhill, so it don't matter for him.
Right. Like I said, That marketing plan, shit like that, doesn't matter because she's the biggest pop star in the world. It only works with her because Beyonce is off the market and I don't know who's left, but it only works with her. Period. You could try. Like, when that's the whole thing. If I'm Taylor Swift, why am I dating the sixth man on the Mavericks?
Right.
Like, nah, I'm not cool. No. That whole league, that whole racial profile doesn't quite fit her bag, so I don't think that's going to fly. But the whole thing of having somebody out there like that, it's hard to do cross-marketing. Like I said, you just brought up Kim Kardashian. She dated Odell Beckham. I don't see people wearing, you know, Kardashian Baltimore jerseys. No one cares. It's just her. She's Michael Jackson, right? Right. You could get Prince, and Prince is awesome. You can get other people. They're awesome, too, but they're not Michael Jackson. She's Michael Jackson. You want to do anything to be in that business. And that's why that motherfucker's not doing the Super Bowl. Because I'm not doing some shit where you niggas going to pay me millions to do this, like, a couple nights a week. I think I'm just going to come up here and do all this show shit for y'all for free to be y'all show pony. And y'all give me nothing. I don't need no more advertisement. I don't. Like, okay. For example, I know that, that's today. Shit.
What?
The Chiefs are playing the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be playing at MetLife Stadium in New York, New Jersey, whatever. And I know personally that there have been people that are not football fans that are trying to buy tickets to that game to see if she's going to be there. Seriously. I'm not kidding. They don't give a fuck about the game. They want to go in there to see if she's going to be sitting there in the box. She might not be doing jack shit. They're just going in to see that. That explains the power of her. Now, what I worry about with Usher, because we're going to kind of sweep back to this thing, is Usher does have star power. I don't think he has that degree of star power. And he's in a weird gap. He's popular to our generation, but not kids younger than us.
Right.
And it might be popular to maybe your aunt, something like that, but not necessarily your mother's. It's like this weird window. Like, he doesn't fit at all because he's not that kind of entertainer. He's not Bruno Mars. People love Bruno Mars because the motherfucker play the drums, the piano, who do all kinds of shit. Right. He does everything. He can sing the up-tempo ballads. He can sing the fun shit, so on and so forth. With Usher, it's really like, even though you're going to have 110 million people watching, it's really going to be like 35-40 is going to be in for the halftime show. Because that's like, it's literally like a demographic. It's people between the ages of, I don't know, 25 and 55. Like, that window right there that was with that man through his whole career, they're the ones that's going to be watching it. I think he's going to put on a good show. I don't know what he's going to do. Because all of his songs that are popular are songs that are like slower. And it's not the method for it. And the ones that are poppy, besides, you know, what's the joint? I don't like that shit with Pitbull. I don't like that shit with whoever the fuck. It's just escaping my brain right now. But it's not that, so I'm trying to figure out what he's going to do. Like, is he going to come out and play the drums and some other shit, or perform his new stuff? Maybe, but we're trying to come here to hear the hits. I'm hoping that he's going to do those. But I think he might do some of the slow stuff in like maybe like a 4-minute medley. Like singing a little bit of this song, a little bit of that, 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 then lead into it so everybody's satisfied. I just don't think it's going to work out too well. I think the reason why they're doing it, it's actually a great reason. I understand the other two people dropped out, but I mean, he is performing great in Las Vegas. People, you're flying to Vegas to go see him perform.
Well, he has a residency, right?
Yeah, and they're having the Super Bowl this year in the new stadium, so I get it. But I hope he does well. I mean, in all honesty, I don't think it makes a difference to me because I'm going to watch anyway because it's Usher. So I just want him to, do his Usher shit more than anything else.
All right, man, let's move on to some important shit, man, because this ain't a gossip fucking program, right? We gossip at times, but we're not a gossip show.
If this is what you're talking about, it's not a gossip thing, but I got you. Go ahead.
Wait, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, continue, because I know you sent me. Listen, go ahead.
My next topic is, after 27 years, goddamn near 30 years, somebody is finally arrested in the Tupac Shakur murder fucking case. Southside Crip, Keefe D. And this motherfucker's been going on for years, basically, spilling the beans on shit.
Yes, thank you. Continue.
He's been incriminating himself for years. I've seen this man on Vlad TV talk about, I don't really want to talk about this, Vlad, but yeah, it was a white Cadillac. Was you the man that shot Vlad? I don't want to talk about this. Nah, I was sitting to the left, but it was my nephew who shot him, and he had a Glock 9. But nah, I'm not talking about this no more. So let's get this clear. It was a white Cadillac outside of the Tyson fight in Vegas. Yeah. Like this, for years he's been doing interviews. He wrote a book where he says some shit. So, I don't know why it took so long to arrest him now. Maybe he thought he was safe. Maybe he thought there was some type of statute of limitation. I don't really know where all the, the legalities are. But the thing is, they finally arrested him. And I don't think he did it. Yeah. I mean, he's going to do some time. He's going to do some time, bro. He's going to do hella time.
Anybody can get indicted. I can get indicted.
Like, no, but he's going to do time, though. And the problem is, too, he's the only person that's still alive. Of all the suspects they've had for the last 30 years, he's the only person that's still alive.
There's one more.
Who?
Suge.
Nah, Suge's already in jail. He's going to rot in jail.
Yeah, but
he also got hit with a straight bullet. They're not looking at him as a suspect no more.
Right. Oh, no, but those are the only two people who live who know.
Him right.
And Suge. And Suge, right. And Suge ain't going to say nothing.
But Keefe D is the uncle of the guy that got beat up on camera. Remember, they got the video footage in the lobby or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. When you see, Tupac and Suge and Death Row, and they're beating up the dude because the dude tried to take Tupac's chain or whatever. So they go back, and Keefe D is the guy's uncle. And apparently, he was in the car with him. There was 3-4 of them in the car. They pulled up. They found Tupac, shot him up on the red light, and drove off. Mm-hmm. 27 years. Nobody seen nothing. Nobody knew nothing. Nobody was arrested.
Okay.
And they finally arrest the man. And, Pac is gone. They ain't bringing him back. His mom is gone. So she's not even here to see any type of justice be made, for her son. Like I said, everybody that's been involved for the most part besides Suge is dead.
Mm-hmm. They all are.
So it's like, all right, do we finally get closure on this situation? And we still don't even have we don't have anything about the Biggie murder. Do we move on to that next? Like, are they going to solve this shit? So they finally arrest somebody in the Tupac murder 27 years later, and we still don't have no suspects on the Biggie.
Well, the Tupac one is stupid.
And I think they're related to each other.
Like, this dude been snitching for years. Like, this ain't new. This is not a conversation he's had recently. He's been telling shit since 1998.
Fucking Keefe D, bro. I seen him on Vlad, and Vlad is the feds, right?
He's, Keefe D been talking about this shit for years. He's been saying, I was in the car, but I was not the shooter. That's, right. And that's his stance.
Right.
He never said he wasn't there. He never said that Tupac didn't get shot. He said, I was in the car. I was not the shooter. I was in the passenger seat. Right. The driver's side, they shot from the back. He said, Baby Lane and whoever was supposed to do it, they did it.
Orlando Jordan, or whatever the fuck his name was.
Orlando Anderson.
Anderson.
They said he did it. He shot at him and the other dude, but they're both dead now. So he's right. And like I said, and I don't know why it took him so long when he'd been basically self-incriminating himself for years. Like, I was a part of what happened. But
does he get arrested on co-conspirator charge? First of all, my second question is, was there a statute of limitation? Can you get arrested 27 years later? After saying some shit?
No, because the whole thing, they had to have found some, what they feel was substantial evidence. Like, they went to his house, they raided his home, they took his hard drive, they took a bunch of shit out of Kiwi's house. So they found something that they could at least charge him with something. There's no statute of limitations, no shit like that. No. Because there's no statute of limitations because you never charged him in the first place.
Right.
Even though there was never a charge. There was always a suspicion. That's like, what's the fucking dude? It was a guy in, I think it was Long Island, wrecked something. And he was married. But he was like killing hookers and dumping them in whatever. Now, a lot of them shits happened a long time ago. I think a couple happened recently, whatever. But they said they connected one from 20 years ago to him, which they did eventually with DNA. They can now charge him with something because now this is the murder that happened, but therefore we never had any evidence. Now can do so. Like I said, you can indict a ham sandwich, but you need some type of something. So someone said something, they raided his house, they found some other information, and something ties one to the other. They ain't going to be, this is the whole thing. I don't know if that man going to serve a minute of jail time, because even that's so like, all right, this happened. Where's the gun?
That shit is long gone.
Yeah. Like, I said I was there, and I said, I told y'all I was there. I've been saying this shit for years. I've been telling y'all, these two motherfuckers shot him. I've been saying that for years. They're going to be like, where the gun? You got to ask the dead man. They the ones that shot him. I ain't got it. They had it. And they gone. It's like I said, there's only two people that know. He know, and he been talking, and Suge know, and Suge ain't said shit. And I hate to be one of them things like, well, you got to find solace in the fact that, you know, you found an answer to this, and like there was no quote-unquote justice in the sense of someone going to jail over this. But like I said, it's not like it's a surprise. Motherfucker been talking for years. Not a couple days ago. He been yapping to Vlad. He been flapping to anybody who can hear him. Like, yo, I was there. I was there. I was there. You was there? I was there. Did you go? I went. And I was in the car. And the thing is that every time he told that story, he's never wavered from it. It's been consistent. I was in that car. I was in the passenger seat. They shot out the back. They killed Pop. So why is it taking to this point to now arrest them? I have no idea. But it's one of them weird things. It's sad, though. I know they're going to try to... I know the next thing is like, well, get over to this Biggie thing. I think that might be a little bit deeper than what the shit is, so... I don't know if they're ever going to catch that killer, but... They already been who knew Pop Killer was. That's the crazy part. This shit ain't nothing new.
So do we finally have closure?
I think that you had closure the moment that his mother died, because that was the only person that needed it.
Mm-hmm.
She was the only person that needed it. Like, as people who are fans of hip-hop and so on and so forth like that, it's not one of the things I ever really worried myself with, in all honesty, because there's a level and an idea of, like, not snitching. So, like, the thing is that even if someone knows, they don't say, even though it can bring solace to someone's family and bring them peace or whatever, they're not going to do it because they feel that if this person was involved in some street shit, there's a code you live by, one of them, that you don't talk about street shit that happened. All right, I get it. And the thing is that Tupac passes away. His mother passes away. Those are the only two people that she was the only person that really, really needed that answer to find peace with it. Once she's gone, there's no one else that's like, they don't owe it to the community. They don't owe it to hip hop. They don't owe it to none of the shit like that. Not at all. They don't owe them shit. Like, he was a recording artist who touched the lives of people. Yes. Do we need an answer for his murder? Probably. Is it a necessity? No. It's not. We think that it is. Like, we would have put out so many different fucking shows and documentaries. Who killed Pop, who killed Biggie, so on and so forth. And no one cares. You know why? Because I keep making the fucking shows and they didn't get an answer until now. And even now, the answer is unsatisfactory. The people who did it are dead. So then what do you do?
Right.
You're not going to be satisfied.
I think people are, because for years, you know, we were listening to the conspiracies like, oh, it was Suge who did it. Oh, it was Diddy. Diddy paid somebody. It was that. You know what I mean? That's Tupac's not really dead. You know, he's in Cuba somewhere. It's like, we used to always, you know, joke around with all these conspiracies.
You were serious. I know you were serious.
Like, no, but these are the things that we would talk about. These are the things that we would hear all the time, all the rumors, like, oh, shit, he's really not dead, or, oh, he, you know, it was Suge, or it was this, you know. So just to hear that, it's just as simple as this. Like, they jumped this guy, he wanted retaliation, got in his car with his Crip boys or whatever, and they shot him. You know what I'm saying? It's simple, it makes sense, but it's not satisfying, right? Like, to, you know, to the media and to the magazines and to the blogs, you know. Into the conspiracy theories. It's not fun, quote to speak. You know what I'm saying?
It seems like it's not fun, but it's such a simple, absolute truth.
Right.
Something happened to a man. That man went and got some people. Those people shot the other man that did something to him. Sounds like some shit that happens all the time.
It just doesn't sound as entertaining as all the conspiracies made it seem before.
All of this whole, he faked his death to go to Cuba. Or Suge has something to do with it, and so on and so forth. I'm not even going to laugh at anybody to make it seem like they're just dumb. I'm not. I don't have the patience for that. But it's more in the sense, like, why do y'all do this to yourself? Like, this has nothing, like, why do you make so much entertaining shit over someone's grief? Like the whole thing with Big, like, you know, like Big was going to leave Bad Boy, so, you know, mm-hmm. Puff had to, like, why? Why do you need to go to these extremes? Like, In this nation, in this culture, in this world, in this country, let's start there. Violent things happen all the time. And it's not even to the degree that we actually think about it as it is. It's sensationalized. It happens a lot more than people want. It's reported a lot more than we show in the news. But, you know, it ain't like we're in Israel. It ain't like we're in like some war-torn country where they're dropping bombs left and right. Like, you can't walk through the fucking store because you never know, like, that's going to be your last day. You still walk out of your house with peace. You still walk to the store. You can walk miles away. Be totally fine. You don't live in the fear of something. It's almost like we need to create it to find like worth or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Always find the whole theories about them dying with some other, you know, the conspiracy theorists, some other shit going on, blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot of niggas are like Tupac. The nigga that played Tupac in the movie looked exactly like Tupac, but it wasn't Tupac. Right. The fuck? Like, like, oh, no. So the dude is in the car with a Tupac double, and the real Tupac was already gone to Cuba. Like,
exactly. The thing is, I think the human mind, when we put people in high regard, a Tupac, a Biggie, whoever your favorite athlete is, Kobe Bryant, you know what I mean? When these people die, and it's like, oh my God, because we worship these people, right? Unrightfully so, but we worship these people. We had them in a pedestal. They're almost like gods to us. And then when something happens to them, we're like, holy shit, it can't be just this simple. Like, he just died. No, it must be a conspiracy behind it. It must be this and that. It must be evil forces behind it. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, he's human. We're all fucking human. We're all gonna die. It sounds cold as shit, but we shouldn't make a conspiracy of everything, I feel like. And I'm guilty of it, too, because in my younger years, everything to me was a conspiracy. They're like, oh, nah, this is a conspiracy, you know. As you get older, you start thinking more level-headed. You're like, nah.
It's the exaggeration of the human condition. That's all it is when it comes to celebrities. It's like if a good friend of yours passes out of the blue, you're like, no, that can't be true.
Yeah.
Your mind is clicking like, no, that's impossible. I literally just saw X person 2 days ago. Now I'm never going to see them again. Your mind, it just won't compute. You're trying to. Eventually it gets there. But your mind, it can't cycle at that moment that all of a sudden now this person's gone. Eventually it does. Because you have the service, you find out what's going on. Those things come together and you create and you find closure. I think the thing with Tupac's death is like that lack of closure. Because like I said, it was so sudden. Remember, him and Tupac, I'm in my early 40s, and how old are you now?
39. I'll be 40 in November.
Correct. You outlived both of them.
Mm-hmm. Both of them. Damn, that's crazy. They both died in their 20s.
They didn't make it to 30. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them. They did not make it to 30. So imagine that happens, and this happens to you, not you, but the death of those gentlemen happens to you at a fairly young age. That sticks with you because you're a big fan of the music. You're growing up with them. You're a huge fan of everything that they do, their performance, their tracks, their everything. And all of a sudden, out the blue. Just like with a regular person, your mind just can't compute. Like, there's no way they can be gone. There has to be some other reason of why this happened. Not coming down to, as you said, the very truthful and simple fact, people die. We're supposed to. That's the whole point. We live, Our bodies decay. We get older. We die. This thing with Tupac, when I heard the story, people were like talking about it. And I was like, I honestly don't care because I've heard the story. That man been yapping about this shit for more than a decade now. And like I said, in the show, the moment that his mother passed away, that was the only person that needed that answer. Outside of that, no one else needed it or deserved it. She needed that more than anything else. Like, who did this to my son? And the moment she didn't get that, they didn't owe shit else to anybody else. Am I glad that this came about? Maybe, because I kind of sort of, but I don't know where this shit is going. Like, you indicted him. Like, what is he going to say in the stand? It's going to be shocking or sensational. You're going to be telling the same story I've been telling for a decade.
Yeah.
I was there. They shot him. Nothing else.
I think we pretty much know everything there is to it. There's movies, there's documentaries, there's books about it.
There's nothing more that you can say. Like, you're literally beating a dead horse. What more can you say or do about this? And the fact that, like, hip hop is in such a fucked up state, like, this is still, like, a major story 27 years later?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause nobody gives a fuck about all these new kids. They're not doing anything that's worthwhile. Yeah. It's just this. Like, we still want to answer to this. All right, so now you got to answer this. All right.
Yeah.
That's the question they got to answer. And I don't know the answer to that.
All right, well, I want to end the show with an Is That Racist?
Is That Racist?
Segment. I actually have two. You let me know if they're racist. Which one you want first, man?
I don't know. It's dealer's choice.
All right, let's start with good old Uncle Joe Biden. He recently called LL J-Cool, not to be confused with LL Cool J, right? He called him LL J-Cool and then called him boy. And there's been a lot of backlash, you know what I'm saying, about the use of the word boy when you're referring to, you know, a black man or an African-American.
Keep going, but hold that point, okay? But keep going.
No, that is the point, because I was going to ask you, as an Uncle Joe Biden supporter, do you believe that's racist? When you're referring to a black, if I call you, what up, boy? You know what I'm saying? Is it the way you say it? Is it the word itself? Like, that boy over there is a good rapper. That boy he's good with boy. You know what I mean? Like, is it the way you say it? Is it who says it? Is it how you say it?
Okay, so
is it racist?
No, it's not racist. It's not racist.
Is the word not racist, or is it Joe saying it to LL Cool J not racist?
Joe saying it to LL Cool J is not racist. Okay. Because Joe didn't say it to LL Cool J. He said it to LL J Cool. So it wasn't even talking about the same person. You know why? Because the nigga senile. That's why. He old and senile.
LL J Cool.
Right. He wasn't saying it to LL Cool J. He said it to LL J Cool.
He wasn't saying it to James Todd Smith.
Right, James Smith Todd. He's seen now. He keep having these fucking senior moments. It's not that. He's not racist. Joe don't know no better. He's just getting old. And when you get old, because when you're old, you can still be smart, but your brain slips a little bit, like little details like that. You're not going to catch them. It's just not going to happen. So do I think it's racist? Fuck no. I think he's having, like, he's been having
slip ups.
Honestly, for the past few years, like, a bunch of fucking senior moments, like a lot of them. Trump has senior moments.
Right.
But the thing that he repeats the same thing over and over again, he don't think he's having a senior moment. He just sticks to the same.
And that's a strategy. When you repeat something, people eventually take that as fact.
Right.
And also the right, the left isn't as, you know, adamant as the right is when they're attacking you, right? Like, a situation like this, Biden does a little slip up, they're going to hold on to that. So the right wing grabs that right away. He's like, look, you see, he's an old racist, senile, you know, fucking old man, whatever. Trump has a slip up and it's like, okay, his followers are like, no, it's fact. And then, you know, eventually the Democrats, they're just like, ah, whatever, because, you know, they're soft like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I don't think it's racist, but he needs to get his shit together, or at least his people need to figure out a plan. You know what I'm saying? When he comes out and does these public appearances to look somewhat representative. You see him the other day when he had the cue cards in his hand, and he's like showing them and it tells him like all the instructions, and he flips it over and there's even more notes in the back. Like, come on, man. I know it's customary for presidents to have like cue cards and shit like that, but nobody has ever shown them on camera like that. You know what I mean? That's what made it funny.
Like, his speech has got to be more like remedial. Like, this is too much. Like, y'all need to simplify this shit. Like, you know how they had, like, the State of the Union? They needed to put him up there, like, shit is hard. We're trying. We're going to do better. Good night. Don't give no details. Don't give no numbers, no figures. Like, yo, keep it basic. Yo,
just have Russell Simmons come out, man, for him. Mr. Biden speaker, Russell Simmons, thank you for coming out. God bless and good night. That's it.
Yeah.
Keep it short.
And that would be great if Russell didn't have some Me Too shit going on with him.
Yeah, it would
be great. But you can't even do that because Russell fucking up. And I want to get back to the boy thing.
It's because he don't eat no meat. Russell's on his vegetarian shit. Motherfucker can't think clearly. He ain't getting no protein. He ain't getting the proper nutrients.
His daughter had a problem with him doing wild shit. The women had a problem with him doing wild shit and so on and so forth. But I want to get back to that boy thing real quick.
Yeah.
And I hate using that as an example, but it's because she's a woman and she's a relative and you know her pretty well, right? So let's say one day, like, you know, you're living your life. Everyone's living their life. They're trying to, you know, extremely try to get to the best and peak version of themselves, right? Let's say, like, you decide to go out one night, like, okay, we're going to go to X place. And let's say your sister's like, okay, I'll be there. I'm going to bring my friend with me. Like, all right, cool. She brings a friend and her friend's white. How do you describe him? Like, what is the question you ask him? Trust me. I'm not certain what the answer is, but what is it that you say?
If she brings a white dude over?
Ding, ding, ding. For some reason, we always called them white boy or white girl.
And that shit just came out too. I wasn't even.
Exactly. I knew it. I fucking knew it. Because we never say, who's this white man or who's this white? They always say, who's this white boy or who's this white girl? They always say that. I knew you were going to fucking say it. They can't help themselves, right? They
can't. Was that racist of me?
No. It's almost like one of them built-in triggers in your mind. For some reason, you can't call them white man. You can't call them white woman. But for some, you always say white boy or white girl immediately.
But saying black boy or black girl, that's not a thing.
No, he's a
black boy. He's a black girl. Right.
No. Because when it comes to people of color, there's a descriptor there. They always say, you never say, like, what is he? Oh, he's black. Or he's Hispanic. He's German. He's this, he's that. Whenever you see someone white, they're always white boy or they are white girl, no matter what you do. And as much as you try to fight it, she comes in, like, they have a conversation and, like, he walks away. You're going to look at him like, who's the white boy? You can't help it.
Fact.
You can't do it. So the fact that he's saying boy, I think he was trying to say it to, like, to be hip or cool. Use boy in the way that you think, like, oh, this is my boy. But depending on literally a slight twitch and tenor of your voice, boy can sound like boy. Just that little bit of a difference. But he said boy. He said it the way we generally say it. He didn't sound like, you know, fucking Colonel Sanders on a slave plantation saying boy. He didn't sound that way. But he said it, but also we also let the fact that he also called him LLJ Cool. You know, this man not necessarily in his right mind right now. So is it racist? No. Is it hilarious? Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sticking to the topic of is that racist? I think this one is a more stronger one. I think this one is a more serious one. And you let me know if you're familiar with this situation. I'm talking about the Erica Mena and Spice situation.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
You know, Erica Mena dated Joe Budden? Whatever. She dated a bunch of fucking rappers and she's been on, Love and Hip Hop.
Safari.
She dated Safari. She got two kids with him, whatever. And then, you know, we have Spice, who's also on the show, Love and Hip Hop. And she's, you know, a dance hall queen and she does the reggae. And they got into a little altercation. And they got into a shouting match and Spice said something about her kids, right? She's like, oh, that's why your son doesn't even love you. And, you know, when you mention, Erica Mena has said, when you mention her kids, she blacks out, right? And she gets, she goes into a dark place and all bets are off and she's going to insult you any way she can. So her form of insult was calling Spice a fucking monkey. She was, specifically a blue monkey. Mm-hmm. She was like, you fucking monkey. Even did the monkey sounds. Like, ooh, ah, even did that. Flipped the table over. And then she proceeded to say, I hope, you should have died. You know, anybody that knows, Spice had some surgery. She went to, like, the Dominican Republic. And she was trying to get, like, a mommy makeover or whatever the fuck they get. And she almost died from complications of the surgeries. So during the fight, Erica Mena called her a monkey and said, you should have died. So now this is a rhetorical question, but is that racist?
Yeah, that's easy. Like,
you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, now, so she gets fired from the show. So she's fired from Love and Hip Hop. She gets fired from another series that she was on called Hush.
That's a racism layup right there, boy.
So she's fucking up her bag. So now she's being apologetic after the fact, right? Because she's being fired from all her gigs. Now she's like, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm going to use this as a, you know, as a teachable moment and whatever. And then, of course, you know, you're always going to go, the go-to is going to be, you know, I have black children. I have black friends. You know what I'm saying? That's the go-to, right?
And I find it funny she's Hispanic and went right to the white person's playbook.
Right. Yeah, she, you know, she said, I'm half Dominican, I'm half Puerto Rican. You know, my kids are black. I date black men. I date, you know, whatever. All my friends are black, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body, she said. But in this moment, you were racist. And when you have the ability to say a racist comment like that, then that opens the door to you being racist, whether it's consciously, unconsciously, self-consciously, you know, a little bit. And even if you're just a 1% racist, you're a fucking racist.
1%.
I'm saying.
I got one drop of racist blood in me. That's racist. Like,
She said about my kids, you know what I'm saying? I black out. All bets are off. Okay, so you have to immediately go to the racist comments, right? You can't say, oh, that's why you're fat. Oh, that's why you're ugly. Oh, that's why you're bald. You know, there's just so many other insults you can throw at somebody. But you have to immediately go to the, you know what I mean? The racist one, the skin color, the one that they've probably been hearing all their life, the one that they've been ridiculed about, you know, the entire life. You know, growing up, they've been heard that they're different because they're black or whatever. And that's the one that you immediately go to. That's your go-to. And then you say, but I have black friends. I have black kids. I'm not a racist. You tell me.
The fact that she went to that shit without hesitation, though. That's the wild part. Like, she knew exactly what she was saying. And like, yeah. Then you apologize for it afterwards. See, that's the whole thing about cop and please with some shit that you shouldn't have been done. Some shit you shouldn't say and some shit you shouldn't do. And the thing is that I can't necessarily say this for myself, but I feel comfortable saying it though. If you know, well, let me rewind that. Let's just say at this age, if you know the shit that triggers you, there almost needs to be like a fail safe in your brain. Like, I know saying shit about my kids angers me. If I know that, I need to make sure that if that does happen, I find a way not to react to the situation or try to pull myself away from the situation as fast as possible. Because the fact that she said it was bad enough, you could have let that slide. You could have just said, you have blue hair, you kind of look like a monkey. Like, I just think it just means that you're ugly. Great.
Now, you got to leave out the word monkey altogether, bro.
You probably do, but there's some leeway. Like, could you kind of call somebody ugly? The moment she does the monkey sounds, it's over. You meant that shit. You knew exactly what you were saying. You knew who you were saying it to. You knew what you were trying to equivocate by making those sounds. The fact that you do that, then afterward, you're like, you pull the white person's playbook. You say, I'm sorry. I apologize about my insensitivity. I know people of color. My children are people of color. I respect people of color. I'll never do it again. I'm going to try harder. I don't need to have these kind of things in my life. I don't support racism. And number 10, you can name it whatever the fuck you are. There's your playbook. And she reads directly from it. She doesn't say anything about, you know, her heritage as a Hispanic person, about the comments that have been gone towards her, that she understands what those words mean, and that she should have never said it. She was an idiot to say so. I know what kind of hurt. I know what kind of things happen from that because I've experienced it myself. It was unnecessary for me to do so. I know it was something that angered me and something that triggered me. And I said something at the wrong place at the wrong time to a person that, even if I don't like them, don't deserve that kind of level of disrespect from me. Now, that is some shit I just literally thought of off the top of my head. And that would have went over 1,000 times better than the shit she said.
Right.
Reading from the playbook doesn't solve racism. It makes you seem more racist because racist people say that shit all the time. So whatever comes of this is going to be what it's going to be. But is that racist? Yes. If she just called her a fucking blue monkey because she has blue hair and I think she's fucking ugly, so I called her a monkey. Yeah. The moment she makes the sounds, you wipe all that shit off the board. Because, of course, you're sensitive to shit as a Latino or Afro-Latino or however she describes herself as. And I'm pretty sure through her life, she has dealt with things in regards to sexism, discrimination, racism for years. So she knows that certain things that people say hurt. She said this shit to her to hurt her because of the shit she said about a child. Yeah, she didn't say that a child hated her. She said that a child didn't like her. No. That's true. Kids don't like their parents at a particular age. It's fucking true. We don't like them. They barely like us. But she knew that if I said it's going to hit a nerve in her and it comes to this situation, she shouldn't have did that. She shouldn't have said that. She should kind of just, like I said, that thing about kids before, like I said, there have been incidents in the past that have triggered the same reaction. Not to this level of racist vitriol, but pissed her off to a particular point. That she didn't find the time and the will and the grace to kind of figure out how do I deal with this when it happens again, because it keeps on happening every time, is a thing. She shouldn't have said it to her. I think homegirl should just accept her apology and just move the fuck on. Like, just, sis, you do whatever you got to do. Just don't cross the street looking for me because I'm not doing this shit with you. Because that was wrong for her to say. It wasn't a time or the place. It was a nasty word to say, and so be it. I'm sorry, but yeah, that's just racist.
All right, so finally, is Erica Mena racist? We know she said some racist shit, but is she racist?
No. I think anger can bring out the most extreme reactions of people. And I think when you're angry, you don't want to understand, you want to hurt. So I'm going to say the most hurtful thing I can towards you. So I don't think she says it all. I think that she just doesn't like her and probably thinks about like her that all the time.
Yeah,
she probably does think she's ugly, probably doesn't think that she's a good human being, but doesn't necessarily like hate her as a person. Like racism kind of reveals that trait. I think you caught her in a very vulnerable moment, and it caused her to be extremely angry, and extreme anger brings out extreme reactions, and that was just one of them. And no, I don't think she's racist. I think she's had a terrible fucking moment. The thing that makes her seem more racist is that she kept pulling it from a playbook that everyone has read before, doing that I know black people shit.
Doesn't work. My friends are black.
Yeah. Yeah, but and that's the whole thing. I like when people say, like, my friends are black, but like, well, do they consider you a friend? Consider them friends, but I mean, you guys eat in the same cafeteria, or you hang out from time to time. All right, great, but are you friends? Like, right. You call them your friends, but will they call you their friend? Tricky, but yeah. But she's not racist, just bad time, bad moment, bad words.
All right, man, but that's our show, man. The Culture Podcast. This actually might be our first video podcast. I'm not sure yet. Depends how I feel. So you may or may not see it up on YouTube one day, eventually. I gotta see how it comes out. It might be our first one, though. But yo, thank you for tuning in. Check out the website, theculture.one. Go read some of those blogs. I mean, you've been reading my shit, man.
I was this randomly popped to my mind. No, I haven't. But I'm going, like, I just haven't had time to read. Like, I've been working my ass off. But this has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. But what do you think about Jay Cargill going to WWE? And what do you think about The Rock showing back up?
Well, The Rock is gonna. Well, Hollywood already. The strike is over, right? In Hollywood, so I feel like we're probably not gonna see the. Yeah, so they're going to start filming again, so I don't think we're going to see The Rock anytime soon again. But Jade Cargill, yeah, I think as a black athlete, I think she's going to be good for WWE. She's a fucking big, strong woman. She's a star. She already has the look. It's just a matter of her, you know what I mean, getting the training and the proper training to actually get in a WWE ring and look the part.
And look in there with who?
With all of them, with Charlotte, Becky, Bianca. They're gonna put her with all them shorties.
Yeah, I don't want them to do the Bianca thing. Like, I don't want the black on black thing. Seems kind of.
But they're gonna.
I would say her and Charlotte, or her and
Rhea Ripley.
Yes. Yeah. That works great. Yes. Some strong style shit. Exactly. If y'all watch wrestling, y'all know what the fuck we're talking about, grow up.
They probably did grow up. That's why they don't watch it anymore.
Yeah. They aged out of it. Like, y'all think I still watch wrestling? Like, no, I don't watch wrestling. I just, a big story come across. I want to see how it affects the whole, I like to think about things deeper than that. And she's a dope wrestler.
Yeah. And she's married to a former baseball player, Brandon Phillips. He played for the fucking the Reds.
The Reds. I remember him because I used to play fantasy baseball. He was nice. My lineup.
was nice. Yeah,
but he was all like 30 home runs, 150 strikeouts. Like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
But that's.
But I am.
Wait, wait. Did they got kids? Because they have an athletic fucking kid.
I think they got kids. They probably got kids.
Was of America Unite. All right, cool. Goodbye, y'all.
Culture we'll see y'all soon.
Get the fuck on. Enjoy your day.
Thanks for listening to the Culture Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
For more info and updates, connect with us on our website, theculture.one, or on Facebook at The Culture Podcast 2020, or follow us on Twitter and YouTube at The Culture 2020.
I always follow them. Please subscribe to the show and leave reviews and comments where you listen to podcasts.